This is Kurt.
And this is Tracy.
And this is the MFG Cast. Hey everybody, welcome to another board game edition of the MFG Cast. This time we're going to be talking about teaching board games, because we've kind of done this for a while. We've been on this podcast, we've kind of taught you games through talking about it on air, but also we've done it live during like cons, we've done it in our house, we've done it at other people's house.
You've done it on TikToks, you've done it on YouTubes.
Correct. So check those out. But we're going to be talking about different ways you can do that. But before we talk about that stuff, let's talk about what we've been playing recently. So what have we been playing?
Well, this past week with our board game group, we played Role Player.
We did.
We taught one of the fellas, Jason, how to play Role Player. Mike already knew how.
Yep,
and we so obviously knew how. So we introduced this game by Thunderworks Games to Jason.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a nice one. It's like, usually when you're role-playing, you already have your character created, you bring them to the table, you play that character and do the certain adventures and stuff like that. But with this one, what it is, it's like a fantasy setting. What you're doing is you're actually rolling dice and you're creating your character. You're creating their attributes, scores, you're creating their alignment, their backstory, and stuff like that. So what you're doing in this game is you're rolling dice, and like each player will have like a certain color depending upon what they are. So if they're a cleric, they'd be white. If they're a rogue, they'd be black, that kind of thing. And those dice, if you have them on your character sheet, will get you points. You also get points by trying to get your ability scores to a certain number. So like on your, I can't remember what the card is. I think it's your class card. It actually tells you what numbers you have to have the range to be in. So like one of them will say like 14 plus. One of them will say 16 to 17, that kind of thing.
Or it's just a straight up number, like 18.
Correct. Yep. And you've got three spots for three dice in every
row.
Yep. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to fill those with those scores. But there's also different ways to manipulate the board. So like if you put it in like charisma, then you'd get a extra token to be able to buy cards that you'll get eventually. Here we'll talk about those for one less. There's I think the strength ability, where if you put a dice in the strength row, you'll be able to flip a dice to its opposite end. So because each dice, whatever it is on one side and on its opposite side, it actually counts to 7, you would know what the other side is. So if you had a 2 on one side, you have a 5 on the other. If you had a 6 on one, it'd be 1 on the other, and then 3 and 4. That kind of thing.
Yeah, I just was taught that this week.
Just a little known fact about the D6.
I'm 43 years old and just learned that.
Yep. Yep.
Feel like a dum-dum.
So, you know, you start off with a decent amount of dice on your board that you'll actually strategically put there to begin with. But then as you go, then what you're going to be doing is you're going to be putting out these initiative cards, what it's called, just like initiative in like role playing is whoever fights first, that kind of thing, or does a certain thing first, like a skill. There's cards, you roll dice plus one, basically, depending upon however many people are there. So like we played 4 players, so we had 5 initiative cards. You roll the dice, you take the dice out of a dice bag, you roll those dice, and then you put them in sequential order from lowest to highest from 1 to 5. So like if you had like 2 twos, 2 fours, and a 5, then you'd put the 2 twos in front and the first and second spot, the two fours in the third and fourth spot, and then you'd put the five in the five spot, if that's what I said, or the six in the six, five spot, whatever. If any dice are tied at the moment, whoever's first, whoever is deemed the first player of that round actually gets to choose where they go.
But you can decide, and you haven't gone into detail on this yet, and I think that's intentional. Correct me if I'm wrong. The dice he's talking about are all different colors.
Correct.
So as the one who places the dice on the initiative cards, you roll multiple, you roll all these dice and you roll multiple twos or something like that. You get to decide what colors you want to place on which cards based on how you want to strategically maybe have someone grab them or how you want to take it based on your class, color you are, because you get points for those at the end of the game, right?
Yep.
Or other factors throughout, mm-hmm. like the yellow one or the golden colored one is considered gold. So if you take one of those and place it in onto your board, you collect gold for that one. There's other cards. If you have one of each color at the end of the game, you might get some points. There's a lot of different cards that help you help complement the different colors you have. Oh, and there's also that is the placement card with the colors.
Oh yeah, that is your.
I can't remember what.
I think that's your backstory. I think.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, whatever it says, wherever the placement of all, like, was it six or seven colors, I think it is?
Yes.
You have to have certain different colors in each of your ability slots in a certain spot, one of those three spots in that row, and then you get extra points that way.
Yeah, so based on the number that you have, so if you placed that same matching color die in the spot that they indicate on the card, I think if you match two to three colors, it's like a certain amount of points, and then four to six, or you know, whatever, a certain number of points, and then seven, it's like max points.
Yeah, for sure.
But you're trying to coordinate that. You're trying to coordinate the numbers because you want to get max victory points.
Yeah, for sure. Another way you can do that too is when you're buying cards. So depending upon the initiative cards that you pick during the round. So like first player always gets the first pick of the initiative cards, and then going in clockwise order, everyone takes initiative cards. But then that actually dictates who's going first, second, third, fourth, whatever, during the buy phase of buying the cards in the card row or whatever. So what it is whoever's got the lowest card there would go first, and then second, and so on. So it's like taking the lowest initiative card to go first to buy cards is great, but that also means that you're getting a lower die to put in for your abilities and stuff like that. So that might kind of screw up your board. But there's also ways, like we talked about, there's ways to manipulate your dice once they're in your attributes and stuff like that. So when you're buying cards, you have to pay the cost on them, and you can buy certain things. So you can buy weapons, like we talked about. You can buy traits. You can buy skills. You can buy armor. So like armor usually is one of those things that's it's dependent upon if you have a certain amount of them. So like if one's like a chainmail one, if you get like a bunch of chainmail, depending upon how many you have, you get a certain amount of points.
Yeah, it's like set collection.
Correct. Yep. Plus you actually all of them, I should say, have extra points if that matches your class color. So, like, if you're, like, a white class or, like, a purple class or whatever, then you get an extra point there. You can also get armor. Armor usually kind of buffs you a little bit or gets you victory points at the end of the game. There's also skills that will also kind of give you special abilities throughout the game, but I think can also... No, I don't think those give you victory points at the end. I think those are mostly kind of manipulative things to kind of help you out through the game.
Weapons.
Weapons will also be able to get you certain things as well. And
But you can max out on the number of weapons you have, because you have to remember that you can't hold endless amounts of weapons in your hand at a time.
Yep, you can only have one in each hand or one two-handed weapon unless you have a card that breaks that rule.
Yep.
So yeah, so there's a lot of different ways to play this game. There's a lot of different ways to kind of manipulate the board, get certain points and stuff like that. You play basically until the end where you're actually taking all those dice and filling up completely those stats on your card or on your player board, basically. And then depending upon however many victory points between all the things that you can, all the victory points you can get between like your traits and stuff like that, and your backstory and your colored dice and your not race card, but what was that one that we called class card. You add up all the points, and then whoever has the most points at the end wins that way. There are things for ties too, but we never like to talk about that because ties suck.
Yep.
But this is one that I feel like every time I play it, I'm like, we just need to play this more. You know.
I don't know. For some reason, this one stressed me out. But I think it's because I become a little OCD or something when it comes to placement of the dice, because I want to be able to get all the things.
Yeah.
I want to be able to score within the ranges of each of the rows between, like, if they say 14 and 15, or you have to get 18, which means 3 6s in there, or my backstory?
Yep.
Has to be the colors, or, you know, in the certain slots. It's like, unless your rolls are ridiculously perfect, which you know that's not going to happen,
no.
And you pull all the right colored dice at the exact time that you need them, that is never going to happen, and I need to get over it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think it's one of those games where it forces you to have to do many paths to victory to be able to win the game, because it's like, for mine, like, there was one stat that I knew I was not going to get. I just kept trying. Things just weren't shaping out. And I was like, it's only one victory point at the end. I don't need it. So I manipulated some stuff to get other stuff. So I had one card that was, I think, Intimidate. And I could up one of my dice if I lower one of my other dice. So I just kept taking that one stat and lowering it. And eventually what I could have done, which I didn't end up getting because other people ended up getting, is they had a card out there that said if your ability is like 8 or count was like 8 or less, you'd get 3 victory points. Well, I'm like, well, that'd be great, because then I'm losing that one victory point, which sucks, but I'm getting 3 instead. You know, so there's ways to manipulate to get to that point, but I understand your point of, like, obviously there's going to be some times where rolls trying to buy cards is not going to be, it's not going to be easy. So, like, you really have to kind of do your best to just kind of max out.
You got
to
roll with it.
I get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just one of those where I'm glad we got it to the table. We played the base game. We have one of the expansions, but I kind of wish that we would have played the expansion too, but we hadn't played it in so long.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let's just get used to playing the base game before we get into the expansion, you know?
Well, and I think sometimes, and this kind of rolls, I think, into, man, why do I want to keep saying the word rolls? I think it kind of goes into the teaching games too, but I think because there's a lot to look at and to play with the base game, I think it was okay that we started with that instead of throwing in an expansion too.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since we played this game, so maybe throwing in the expansion would have been fine anyway, but like, it was okay to just play the base game for now.
For sure. Yeah, and it'd be nice to throw in the expansion later, because now everybody kind of knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
And we don't have to teach it as much. We just have to teach the little bit of change that would come with the expansion. Another game that we played, that we just played really recently here, is another game that I really dig that we had put on our challenge of, what was it, A to Z? So one of
A to Z minus the letter something.
X or something like that? Was that the letter?
Yep, I want to look because it is...
It's one of our challenges on BG Stats.
Yeah, we don't have a X game.
Yeah, which makes sense. I can't even think of an X game in my head right now.
So, yeah, our A to Z challenge, which we're not doing well on.
No, we have not done good. We've played all these awesome, fun new games and played and had and introduced a bunch of older games to our game group, but we haven't really done well on this challenge at all.
Yeah, we've only played 4 games.
Yeah.
But we have till the end of the year, mm-hmm. out of 25 games, because we're not playing with X.
Yeah.
There's new to us games, like new that we've never played, and games that we are familiar with, we've played, we might need a refresher on, and some of those are to see if we even want to keep the game.
Yep, for sure.
So.
But this is a game that we've always really liked, and we kind of happened upon it, I think, at JetCon, didn't we?
Mm-mm. You got it from Mike.
Oh, I got it from Mike, that's right. Oh my gosh. Wow, it's been so long, I forgot. But this is Vikings Gone Wild by Lucky Duck Games. It's a game basically where you are Vikings that are... You're building buildings, you're getting gold and beer to to be able to do certain things. So you're using beer to hire fighters, or what do they call those? Units. You are using gold to build buildings and upgrade your... Our houses, is that what they were called? The ones that we upgraded?
Villages,
is that what those were called?
Are you talking about right in front of us?
Yeah, well, we had those 3 cars that you could upgrade.
Yeah, isn't that a village?
I think so. It's hard to remember.
I don't know. I don't know, because you looked at me like I was like...
Oh, well, again, I don't remember. That's why...
I'm pretty sure it's a village.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, so, you know, in this game, what you're trying to do is you're just trying to get victory points... doing certain things like that. So, you know, depending upon if you decide to... It's a deck building game. So you're using the beard and the... Wow. You're using the beer and the gold to buy certain things and kind of building up your Viking crew, basically. You can do fighting. So if you do fighting, depending upon however many times you fight and are successful, you get more victory points. So if you fought one unit with another building, you'd get 1 point. If you did 2 units with 2 buildings or like other like heroes or something like that, you get 3 points, and it kind of scales up as you go there. Also, the other player that's being attacked can defend, and they would get certain points if they defended well too. So like if you defended, like say somebody uses 2 units against your 1 building and you defended that totally, you get victory point for each unit that attacked you. So you get more for just defending. You can also get bonus points for the attackers if you do a total like victory or whatever. So you get an extra point there.
And potentially, depending on the building that you're fighting against, you could collect resources.
Mm-hmm, correct.
Depending on the building, you could collect beer or, I want to say cheese, or gold.
Gold, yeah, because it looks like gold cheese.
No, I don't know why, because beer and cheese, I don't know.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know why beer cheese soup, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Huh.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have 3 or 4 expansions to this game. I just looked while you were talking. This game came out in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun one.
It is a fun game. We played the crap out of it, I think, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
We played it a lot, and then we ended up kind of getting obsessed with it and bought, like, a lot of the expansions. I know Mike bought Master of the Universe or something like that. I think that's what the expansion is. We bought the Magic expansion and, like, some other one. I don't know. I think we have, like, 3.
Yeah, I think it's 3 total, yeah.
Yeah. Like, we like it. We ended up just playing the base game
mm-hmm.
today,
though. Again, yeah. Just because, again, we haven't played it in so long, so mm-hmm. it was just nice to be able to get it to the table. There's just so many things you can do with it, too. Like, there's special heroes that you can get during the game, depending upon when you're moving on the score track. What else is there? You can get fun... Oh, you can get victory points depending upon... There's, like, 4 goals that you... pick out at the beginning of the game, so you can score on those, like the ones
that's that, end game, like end game stuff. Right?
Yep. So we had like one of them was like for the most gold stored at the end of the game, for the most buildings and that kind of stuff.
Yep.
So it's just one of those where you just kind of, you know, you fight the other players, try to get more victory points that way. But again, just kind of like almost like role player, there's a lot of different paths to victory and to be able to get different victory points there. Tracy was kind of mad at first because she thought I was going to kick her butt, and then she ended up just smoking me at the end, so I don't know why she was worried.
Well, it was, you were fighting me a lot, and I didn't have enough cards that would defend you from fighting me, or I would never coordinate to what was in my hand to be able to even, like, make a dent in anything. And so I thought, God, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure I like fighting games like this. And then at the end, I had, like, a mega hand that took out all your buildings, I think, at one point. I don't think you could defend any of that. And it scored me a lot of points. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah.
Well, and the thing is that you actually, instead of just being like, well, I'm never going to win this game, you, like, learned, and there's, like, defense cards, too, that are kind of help you defend against attacks and stuff like that, and you started to do that, too. So that's where... go ahead.
Oh, sorry. But I think part of the problem was I was always one short on a resource to be able to buy them.
Yeah.
So, like, I wanted to get a certain thing, and I was always one short on them,
yeah,
too. So it's like I had to just, what could I do that would help me to try to get something? Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I knew what I needed.
Yeah. And I think that it helps that they've got what's called the Odin's Row, and that gives you cards that are able to do more things. So it's like, oh, you can steal a gold from somebody's stored gold spot. It could give you a couple more beer, a couple more gold. It could be a thing where if you flipped over a certain, you could draw a certain card, and if it was like a fight or one of your starting cards, you get a victory point. Like, so they thought of all these different ways for you not to be stuck. So, like, even though you were kind of stuck at the beginning, you're like, I just didn't have this and I didn't have that. Eventually, you got to that point.
Well, because you can also trade in two of whatever for this, or one of this to switch this or whatever, which is really nice too. And it's cool that they show it on the board.
Yeah.
So you're not having to look
in the rule book
all the mm-hmm. time.
Well, they even have a little card that tells you everything too. So, like,
yep.
It doesn't have everything, but it's got a lot of different useful information there.
But I think between that reference card and between the board,
mm-hmm.
I don't know that we really needed to reference the rules very much because it was all laid out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, for sure.
It was nice.
Yeah, for sure. So speaking of rules and teaching games and learning games and stuff like that, I just kind of thought of this topic the other day because, you know, we've been doing that pretty much, like, a lot now. So, like, whether it's we're playing a new game and we're teaching it to ourselves, or we have basically kind of two groups that we play with. We've got our game night with Mike and Jason, but we also have two of our friends, Sarah and Krista, that like to play games with us as well. And even if, like, Logan will play with us and stuff like that, like, we're almost always teaching a game, you know? It's almost rare that we're learning a game that we're not teaching, you right. know? Mike might do it every once in a while, but most of the time we're bringing something to the table, you know? So I feel like there's different ways to approach that kind of thing. So, like, I just thought I would just go over a few to just kind of get the conversation started. So the first one I thought of is just cold, just doing it. You know, there's no prep. There's no reading the rules. There's no...
Are you thinking, like, no one's ever played it before?
No one's ever played it. Okay. You fresh out of the hopper, you open the box, you look at the rules, and you go, you know what? This is dig in. Let's go for it, you know? That part is tough.
We try not to do that.
Yeah.
But we have.
We have, for sure.
We have. I mean, we did it a couple weeks ago.
We did.
With a garden guest.
Garden guest, yep. And that one, I feel like...
That one was okay.
Yes. And I think that goes to show you that I think rule books need to be nice and decisive and...
Organized,
yep. And just real, you know, just get to it. You know, there's no, like, vagueness. There's no, you know, so many things that people kind of get lost in it, you know? Even though there are a lot of games that have a lot of stuff, so sometimes that might happen, regardless of how well they write them or not.
Well, and I think going back to, like, having them be organized and stuff, because you're reading the directions for the first time with the group, we may all gather something else, like different parts of it. And it's nice to be able to be like, so-and-so remembers this part and this person remembers a little bit of this. So let's just look up this part of the directions, because I think that together our brains probably all collected the same information.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not spend 10 minutes trying to find where we remember reading that.
Yeah.
Like, that is annoying to me.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out where it's found.
For
or
sure.
Or, like, where we read it. Or, you know.
Yeah.
That's why I really like when teaching games, the back part, a lot of companies are putting on the back part of the directions and the rules and stuff is the quick summary.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, that isn't the end all be all, but man, that is like a lifesaver.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And even like we talked about before with Vikings Gone Wild, like little cards that have information, the board that has information. Like, I think when we talked about Dog Park, like Dog Park has a really good, like, here's a lot of this stuff and information on your boards and stuff, so you're not as lost as you'd be.
Yes.
In some games, you know?
Yeah. Like, that, I think it's hard when you're learning and or going through and re-teaching or teaching a game
mm-hmm.
to someone when there's absolutely no reference.
Yeah.
Card. Like, or the reference card is, like, worthless.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do we have it?
Yeah.
Start the game. Cool, thanks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I'm so reliant on them. And they've really become more prevalent and a very helpful tool for somebody who's trying to teach somebody else a game, I think.
For sure. Yeah. And one thing I would say, too, is don't be disappointed if you get something wrong, too. You know? It's like, I think even the best of us that have been teaching games for a while, or even people that do it professionally, like, you know, on YouTube and stuff like that, like, even they will stop and be like, post a video like, I'm so sorry, I got these rules wrong, you know, you should have done this instead of that, you know, that, don't be afraid if, you know, you get something wrong, because a lot of times it doesn't break the game necessarily, or, like, make it a bad experience, so, you know, don't be disappointed if that happens, you know, just, you know, if eventually you find out that you did something wrong and now you're doing it right.
Eh. Well, and oftentimes you're making it more difficult for yourself
yeah.
than easier for yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, you just, especially if you're in the first example, you're all learning at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Of course there's going to be something. I mean, we miss something all the time.
Yeah.
And I think people seem pretty chill about it.
Yeah, I think so. Another way to teach games, and this is kind of something kind of small, but it also is, I think, is very important, and I'm putting both of these together, is reading the rules and also having the game set up before people even show up. Like, that's been huge for us lately, because, you know, if we have our game nights with the people that we're having these game nights with, we only have like a couple of hours. So, like, if a game plays, let's even say, like, just a straight hour. If you're trying to teach that game, or even if you're trying to relearn that game, that's probably going to be another maybe 20 to 30 minutes on that game.
Yeah, but then you're throwing in conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Regarding questions, yeah. Regarding nothing about the game.
Yes, interruptions by other things,
yep.
You know?
Yep.
You know, so
life.
Yeah, for sure. Bathroom breaks. So, you know, it's like one of those things where just having some semblance of the rules
yep.
and having it all set up before everybody gets there, that cuts so much time.
Well, I think partially too, because then you can have your focus on teaching the game and on the people who are learning it, and they can be focused on that versus trying to help you set up the game while you're trying to teach them the game, or,
yeah.
You know, not just cutting down on the time that it takes you to set it up, but some people might try to set it up and teach it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think you're losing that concentration factor.
For sure. Yeah. Because that can easily... That's a thread that can easily be pulled, because it's like...
Whoa.
A lot...
What? What?
What?
I have never heard you say that. That's a thread that can be easily pulled?
Yes. Yes, it can.
When did you start seeing that?
Just right now, apparently.
What? What? What?
I don't know. I don't
okay.
know.
Anyway. Wow. Anyway. My mind is blown. Sorry. Sorry.
I almost forgot what I was even talking about.
I have no idea what you were saying. I'm like listening to you talk, and I just thought, I've never heard him say that before. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's okay.
You.
Is that things can easily get derailed, so sometimes you have to kind of rein it in. Like, every once in a while, I'll even yell at my game group because everyone's just talking and talking, and I'm just
we
like...
We are really squirrely.
Like, oh my god, shut up. It's time to play.
Yeah. We are, like, ultra squirrels.
Which is, again, it's okay. But then again, if, like, if I know we're going to be playing a game that's going to take us up until that point, and I don't want, you know, we don't want to play it the next week, we want to play something else, well, then I, you know, we have to rein it in, you know?
Like, get your shit together.
Exactly. Exactly.
Don't pull that thread out or whatever Kurt said.
So that's another way to do things. Something that's been more prevalent. Yep. Go ahead.
I had a thought. Can I say a thought?
Of course.
Okay. So I think when you're learning a new game, I think it's good to read the directions and things like that. But also, I like to do a watch it played.
Mm-hmm.
Video, because I feel like reading the directions, great, but I feel like doing a watch it played is nice too, because I think you're picking up stuff that you may have missed, little bits and pieces and little treasure nuggets that are in the directions that you might have missed.
Yeah, for sure.
Did I see you at the corner of my
Yeah, head? I was like, I've never heard you say treasure nuggets.
I've never said it.
We're both really
I did it on purpose.
Impressing ourselves today. Yeah, it's funny. I'll kind of go off of that, too. Like,
is that what you were going
to
say?
Something similar to that.
Oh.
And what I was thinking is, and I almost tried to, without saying it, I tried to do it this last game night we had when we played role player, is telling people ahead of time. Because then I was like, what I should have done is I should have sent them the watch it played video, because we actually watched that, because I was like, well, you know, I could.
Oh, you were watching it. I was not watching.
I was like, well, I could read the directions, which I will still do, but I can also watch a video on it. And again, it's not just watch it played, even though watch it played is amazing for learning any game that's on there. But
I meant more like watching somebody play it, and I just it was just faster.
Oh, for sure, for sure. But there's a lot of people that teach a lot of different games that do a really good job.
Yes, agreed.
And
my bad.
So, you know, I'm thinking even sending somebody a link to the game that we're playing and being like, here's a little video. It's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. Watch that before you come over, because then now they have a little bit of a leg up. Especially if you're learning something completely new. A lot of times when people play their first game, they're like, well, I'm just trying to get my feelers out and trying to figure out how to play this game. Well, now you kind of know how the game plays a little bit because you've seen it.
Or you know at least the backstory and you know a little bit about what it is.
Exactly.
Or you could just be Tracy, who has played this game several times and was so disorganized and disfocused that I would ask questions from 5 minutes prior.
Yeah. But we all have that, too.
God.
You know, there will be days where, like, I'm having a bad week and my mind is not there. Or, like, I'm tired because I didn't get enough sleep. Like, that will happen. Or even there's even games where I'm like, apparently the strategy of this game just escaped me. And I have no clue how to play this game right now.
Oh, that's absolutely what I was struggling with.
Yeah.
So, like, the first few rounds, I was cheating myself from benefiting everything from the game. Because I was like, oh, I'm dumb right now.
Yeah.
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 I was not on my game.
So that's more of, like, strategies for stuff like that. But there's also a little piece of advice I would give, like, especially when teaching a game, like, be patient. Like, don't be afraid to repeat things as people need them. Also, don't be afraid to help them when they are missing something when you're teaching a game. Because easily, I think there's a lot of people that teach games that go, I want to win this game as well, and that they won't teach people certain things that they missed just so they can win that game. And I, to me, I think that's kind of
I always try to crappy. Call someone out and be like, maybe you'd want to do that.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And then you go, as a joke, you're always like, hey! And yeah. I'm like, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, when you're teaching a game, again, just make sure that you're, you know, helping people along, because I feel like you're doing everyone a disservice if you don't teach them how to play the right game, play the game right. Because if you're playing a game and you get a cheap win just because they've forgotten some things, does that really make it a true victory? I don't think so.
Well, and if they don't know the full picture and how to play it, or they missed a part that would be kind of vital or really important to them, do you think that they're going to maybe want to play it again?
Mm-hmm.
Would they have a different feeling about the game?
Yeah.
If they would have remembered that important piece.
Yeah.
Of the puzzle.
For sure. For sure.
I agree.
Another piece of advice, and just kind of like we've been talking here, is try to just be more prepared. Because if you're not teaching people how to play the game correctly, just kind of like you, again, it's just kind of like what you said, like, even if you did it on accident and someone's like, well, this game, I didn't really know anything about this game as we're playing it, and like, I don't like it. And it could be a game you love, and now you've taught it wrong to them, and now they just don't get it, and they just don't want to play it anymore. That part would suck.
Yeah.
You know?
And again, just because you like the game and you taught it to them and maybe you taught it to them right doesn't mean they have to like it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
So you have to be open to... Don't have your fifis hurt just because somebody doesn't like a game you taught them.
Yeah, yeah.
Even sure. If you taught it to them right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I never use the word fifis.
Yeah, again, my boss
uses that.
Really? I've never heard of that.
He jokes. That's when he gets sassy and he's like, get their fifis hurt.
Okay.
He does.
That's weird.
He does.
That is really weird.
And I'm like, oh gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. To each their own. Anyway. There's one other thing too, and I forgot what I was going to say. Don't be afraid to play a game multiple times as well. Like, I think sometimes we're so used to just being like, you know what? We have so many games we need to play. We need to get this to the table. Let's just do this one and done, get to the next one. You know, if you really want to learn a game, you want to know the strategies and nuances of the game, don't be afraid to play it more than once. Even if it's something where you play it, you know, you play it weekly and you're like, well, you know, as much as I would like to play a new game this next week, maybe we can play this again. You know, maybe you have an expansion you can throw into it. Maybe it's like, okay, I feel like I really didn't play this well this first time. Let's play it again so we know how to... So see if, like, I can do a different strategy and come out on top this time. Is there any other advice that you have that you would give anybody? Have fun.
Have fun.
Yes. And that's what games are all about.
I can't think of anything else.
Yeah. So hopefully that's good enough advice to you.
You let me chime in with my one. So...
Well, I feel bad. Like, it's like I don't ever let you chime in.
I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry. I just go, and hey, then if you have something,
hey, I was just teasing thread, weaving the thread guy,
oh,
or whatever.
Oh my god!
Your needle pulling mm-hmm. the thread.
Totally.
What was that line?
I don't know anymore. You've got it all jumbled up.
Dang, that was such an interesting
pulling
line.
The thread.
Pulling the thread.
Yep. Pulling that thread.
What was mine? Nugget of fun?
No. Something nugget.
Nugget.
Anyway, truth nugget?
Truth nugget, maybe. I don't know.
We've lost this thread. So let's close it out, shall we? Hopefully this was informative for you. Hopefully you have different strategies for being able to teach people. If you have anything that we missed, let us know. We're on Twitter, we're on Blue Sky, we're on Instagram. I have a TikTok if you want to check that out. We're also doing role-playing stuff. We're doing Core Noir. We're going on our, I think this is our fourth or fifth season. We also have our Thief Like Me fantasy campaign. Also, if you want to watch our new, we're doing a live campaign. It's another D&D fantasy campaign called Time After Time, where our players are time travelers that are trying to fix the past and the future, and they don't quite know why yet. Go over to our YouTube channel. We're trying to do that every couple of weeks. So just hit that subscribe button and you'll be able to find out when we're recording next. So, and until next time, I'm Kurt.
And I'm Tracy.
You knew we're not done.
You were talking to me.
And you're eating a fucking ice cube. Oh, you think I'm gonna be talking for 20 minutes? Put a damn ice cube in your mouth.
And I'm Tracy.
And this was the MFG Cast. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.